Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about some of the comprehensive clues appearing in the corporeal senses to indicate the activity of the spiritual senses. Listen as we discuss some of the Kriya Yoga practices to awaken the spiritual centers. In this show, we will focus on Herb Fitch Revelation of St. John, Class 4B. When you're out of your five senses, you are unconscious, but you are not in your five Christ senses. And when you're in your five Christ senses, you're out of those five human senses and you're not unconscious, you're Christ conscious. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the influence of divine truth. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Waking Up the Sleeping Senses. So what do you mean by sleeping senses?
Yeah, the sleeping senses, those are the spiritual senses. And we did another show on this on February 17th, 2020, that was titled Awaken Thou That Sleepest Here and Now, which comes from Ephesians 5:14 in the Bible, and I'll read it. Wherefore he said, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. End of quote. And in that show, we talked about being awake, being asleep, being alive, and being dead. There's no difference. Because we're always looking at the different aspects of the one perfect divine life. And I think in this show, what we want to really focus on is how to awaken these sleeping senses and how to know what it looks like when I am becoming conscious of this divine truth.
Well, what is the difference between these sleeping senses that you said were spiritual senses and the corporeal senses?
The way I'm starting to understand that best now is the difference between what is real and what is unreal. The material senses focus on what we will call unreal. And the reason they're unreal is because we're looking at a divided consciousness. What was called duality. They're not really a self-existent power like spirit. Spirit and your spiritual senses work in the absolute. Spirit is whole, it's complete, and it is a self-existent power. Brings forth two very different streams of appearance. One functions on a belief in two powers. And it reports in our material senses. The other functions and operates on one power, the power of harmony, the perfection of being. And it doesn't report in the corporeal senses.
Well, let's talk about some of these comprehensive clues that appear in our corporeal senses that may indicate the activity of these spiritual senses.
Yeah, see, all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to the divine creation. The fruits of the Spirit in the Bible are referred to as peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance. And so what is appearing in our senses is either under the influence of the material senses or the mortal mind, world mind, or they're under the influence of divine mind. And the external image is the diagram of what we are conscious of.
So let's discuss some of those Kriya Yoga practices that will help awaken these spiritual centers.
Yeah, the entire practice of Kriya Yoga, which breaks down into a path of action, a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion, are specifically designed to awaken these spiritual centers. So there are things that we can and we must do, and there's also stuff that we must know. And I want to say a big part of deciphering the code of scriptures is this path of knowledge. So for now, let's look at Revelations and this statement. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write. That's the end of the quote from Revelations. In order to write, there are many things which have to be in place before one is capable of writing. Meaning, in Scripture, there is preparatory work. For example, one learns to speak by converting sound into words, then words into sentences. Sentences into paragraphs, and paragraphs into thoughts, and thoughts into ideas. It's a process, a complicated progression, and it's a requirement in order for us to graduate to being able to write. And so the instruction in Revelations is really a way of learning to speak with spiritual senses. And the use of the word write is code for having a capability, which began with the union with the divine. Love God. Remember last week we talked about love, faith, and humility to the top of the mountain, and joined spirit with truth and saw light. This is all code for right in Revelations. In Kriya Yoga, this is yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, which are your preliminary practices, and then pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, they're the same practices, but they're experienced at different levels of consciousness, different degrees of awareness. And a big part of the foundation of the Kriya Yoga practice is understanding your seven spiritual centers, your seven chakras, which were represented by the seven churches in Revelation. Because the term church means Lord's house. Lord's house means divine consciousness. The angel is the divine idea of the divine mind. And in this process of joining truth with spirit, we're shedding the light of truth on the church. We're finding that place in consciousness where individual thought is the same as the divine idea. And in the practice of Kriya Yoga, we take that mind that can't bring forth the divine image, make it an avenue of awareness. We stop forming thoughts and opinions based on the information that's coming in through our material senses. We stop thinking and we start knowing the truth. And in silence and in stillness, we watch, we wait, we let this divine light reveal itself to us, and then guide us from within.
Well, so I'd like to take a minute and talk more about the verse from Ephesians, and that was chapter 5, verse 14, the part that says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." I want to talk about "and arise from the dead." I know they don't mean a body that's no longer living. I think they're talking about our senses. Is that correct?
Yeah, when they're talking about dead, what they're really saying is that we're dead to Christ. We're dead to the divine creation. We're unconscious of the truth of our being. Here we're learning we're only awake and alive when we're in spiritual sense. And we're asleep and dead when we're in the material senses. We also know consciousness is experience, and the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness.
Is that what it means from the second part of that verse when it says, Christ shall give thee light? It's because we're in that level of consciousness?
Yes, when we're conscious of the divine creation, that's what fills our consciousness with the divine idea. But it is the Christ that makes the divine creation comprehensive to human intelligence, the Messiah, the saving aspect of truth. And the birth of Christ is the awakening of the spiritual senses.
So, Swami, I'm curious, can you explain the difference between God and Christ?
God would be, say, for example, divine mind, and Christ would be an idea in that divine mind. Scripture represents it as the Son of God. Mary Baker Eddy, in her work Science and Health, she refers to it as principle and idea. And the only way that I really grasp that is the idea of what Mary Baker Eddy called reflection, translated as mind considering its own content. And of course, the way C.S. Lewis explained that was works very well for me. He never thought it was possible to have a personal relationship with God in the same way that he never thought Hamlet could know Shakespeare. And so it becomes almost the process of peeling an onion. You start taking away the layers until eventually you come to the realization that there's only one. And Jesus would explain that I and the Father are one, not I and the Father are two. Until we come to that realization that divine truth is the only consciousness. Herb Fitch in Revelation of St. John, Class 20A, I have a quote here from him, I'll read it. The basic teaching of the Bible is unheeded completely, and that is God is all and God is spirit. Unless there is a consciousness that I am spirit, I have not caught the message of the Bible. End of quote. And we can't grasp that with our material mind. We need to activate our spiritual senses. Our material senses work in the rational, in duality. They function on that divided consciousness, polarization. But spiritual senses work in the absolute, where there is no division, there's no time, space, concept, belief. There's no thinking. There's no human will, and there's no personal sense, where all is just one perfect divine life.
To recap what you just said, unless there is a consciousness that I am spirit, so that leads me to think we have to get to that level of consciousness that I am spirit.
Well, that's what this show is about. We awaken into the truth. I am spirit. All is spirit. Nothing has to be made or added to or taken away other than the belief that I'm not spirit, other than the belief that there is something other than one perfect divine life. Or like the Ephesians said, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And I think a big part of understanding this is to understand that Christ doesn't equal Jesus. So you impersonalize Christ. You realize that Christ is the saving aspect of truth. It is an eternal principle. that makes the divine creation comprehensive to human intelligence. It's like an interpreter. And so a big part of this path of knowledge is educating our thought up to this divine mind, up to the mind of Christ, up to spiritual apprehension.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I think it might be a good time just to revisit that Herb Fitch quote that we have from his Revelation of St. John, Class 4b. Would you recite that again for our listeners?
Sure. When you're out of your 5 senses, you are unconscious, but you are not in your 5 Christ senses. And when you're in your 5 Christ senses, you're out of those 5 human senses, and you're not unconscious, you're Christ conscious. End of quote. Now, what I really think is interesting about this is typically we might consider what being unconscious is. And say, for example, if I was in a class and I'm daydreaming, even though my senses are being bombarded with information from my surroundings, but I'm not conscious of that. I'm thinking about what I have in the refrigerator at home. That's the way I think humanly we would interpret what this is saying. But what he's really saying is when you are conscious of what is happening in your surroundings, when you are awake in your material senses, you are unconscious to the divine creation. And when you are unconscious to the divine creation, you are dead in scriptural terms. You're dead to Christ. And then the other thing that he says, when you are in your Christ senses, you are unconscious to your material senses. And for me to really grasp this, I use the example of when I'm doing a Kriya Yoga asana class, I use a mirror. I look at the image in the mirror, and it gives me clues as to the positioning of the image on the mat. Now, I know there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in that image in the mirror. In a very similar way, what happens when you become Christ conscious, when you accept and live in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual body, the truth of your being, you realize there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the image on the mat. And so we no longer have to react to the testimony of the material senses. And by the same token, you use that image, you use what is appearing in your material senses to help you understand what you're conscious of. In the same way, I use the mirror to help straighten my back or straighten my legs in a particular position. Because if I see there's a misalignment in my physical appearance, I don't move the mirror. And so now in a similar way, when I see there is a misalignment or there is lack, limitation, pain, discomfort, instability in the image on the mat, I don't try and fix it from the image on the mat. I try and change how I'm thinking. And I think this is what comes with the capabilities that we develop as we activate our spiritual senses. There's a big difference between living under the influence of our five material senses as opposed to living out from under the influence of our seven spiritual senses.
Well, how would we know if we were in our spiritual senses as opposed to our material senses?
I have a quote here from Herb Fitch, Revelation of St. John, Class 20A, and I'll read it. All around you, the people you love, the people you respect, the people you wish to help, are anchored in the belief that we are mortal beings, and there is no way that you can help them, other than demonstrating through your awareness of the presence of God that you are not a mortal being. End of quote. All right, so here, talk doesn't cook the rice. And spirit testifies with deeds, not words. We can't bring forth the divine image with the material senses, the mortal mind, and we must think differently. And so if you're not healing the sick, reforming sinners, raising the dead, which was what Jesus called preaching the gospel, then you really are still operating from your material senses. And here we're trying to learn how to awaken the spiritual senses, which knows the truth that makes us free from the belief that we're not perfect.
So you've used the phrase spiritual identity before. Is that the same thing what we're talking about when we say awaken the spiritual senses?
Yeah, it's kind of like when you step into a dark room, you turn on the light, and it illuminates the room. And your spiritual senses are the light, which dissolves the human mental image that is preventing us from seeing the truth of being. Darkness is not an opposing power to light. Darkness is the absence of light. And the ignorance of the truth is what we call darkness. And so the darkness of not knowing or not being conscious of the divine creation is not an opposing power to the light of truth. It's just the absence of this light. And we really want to understand the importance of accepting spiritual identity, in accepting ourselves to be immortal. I have something here from Mary Baker Eddy. To emphasize the importance of accepting immortality and spiritual identity as a prerequisite to knowing the truth. And I'll read what she wrote. You are scientifically correct in your statement about yourself. You can never demonstrate spirituality until you declare yourself to be immortal and understand that you are so. Christian Science is absolute. It is neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. It is at this point and must be practiced therefrom. Unless you fully perceive that you are the child of God, hence perfect, you have no principle to demonstrate and no rule for its demonstration. By this, I do not mean that mortals are the children of God. Far from it. In practicing Christian Science, you must state its principle correctly, or you forfeit your ability to demonstrate it. End of quote. Now, we really have to understand when we accept spiritual identity, there's some responsibility that comes with this, which is found in the message of the Christ. Heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. And so for me, healing becomes the best way to know whether I am thinking with my five material senses or if I have now activated my spiritual senses. Because a Christian Science healing is the operation and power of divine mind. We don't do it with a mortal mind.
Swami, you just were talking about the message of the Christ. I believe we do have a passage here from Herb Fitch, Revelation of St. John, Class 1B, that could be appropriate right now.
Yeah, I'll read it. But the Christ message says that we do not want that snare and delusion for ourselves, human circumstances, because that is not Christ's safety, Christ's success, Christ's comfort. And it can be snatched away by the tides of human circumstances. It has no sustaining law. It has no substance of the Father. It is not a spiritual fact. It is a mental fact. And anything that is a mental fact is subject to the change of mind. This world is a mental fact. Revelation is the perception through soul of the reality that underlies the mental images of this world. End of quote. And so we're learning this world is a mental image. This physical body is a mental image, but we're also learning that the more divinely mental, the more harmonious and indestructible it will appear, because how we think is what we become. Consciousness is experience. And it all depends. Am I sowing to the flesh, reacting to the testimony of my material senses, or am I sowing to the spirit and being a faithful witness for the perfection of being?
So I'd like to break down what it actually means to be a faithful witness. Are we in our human mind or are we in our divine mind?
Well, to be a faithful witness really means you are faithful to what is appearing in your physical senses. Oftentimes, we're looking at lack, limitation, suffering, sickness, and we know that that's not part of this divine creation. And so the human tendency is to go out and fix that. And that's exactly what in Revelations we're recommended not to do. We really want to rest and know the truth. Only the divine creation is here. And so when you're a faithful witness to your faith in what isn't appearing in your material senses, then becomes a demonstrable principle. Living in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual creation will take care of what seems to be an external physical world.
So, Swami, what are your suggestions that we do to experience this oneness with the divine?
Well, I'd start by going to the website and looking at what we say about yamas, niyamas, asana, pranayama to begin with. Start your path of action, knowledge, and devotion, because we must come out of the belief in matter and the mental creation, which means the mortal mind. And we do this by activating our spiritual senses. We do this by knowing ourselves in the way that we are created, spirit. Then we can love God supremely. Then we can have faith in the omnipresence, the perfection, the power, and the activity of the divine truth. And finally, we have the humility to sacrifice personal sense by accepting the oneness of spirit. But you have to understand that you can't do this with a five-sense mortal mind, with your five corporeal senses. You can't do this if you believe that you are a finite mortal being. And unless you are in the presence of somebody that is of that mindset of oneness, you're going to have to educate your thought up to spiritual apprehension. Fill your thought with divine ideas. Let go of your material moorings. Spiritual ideas are buoyant. That will lift your awareness into this larger sense of self and begin to trust that only God is, and God is absolute goodness.
Well, we're going to break down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. When you're on the homepage and you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, click that. That directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. Then by clicking on the Products tab, then Online Classes, directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and live under the influence of divine truth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.